ओम हरि ओम तत्सत श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः हरि ओम ओम सदा शिव समारंभाम व्यास शंकर मध्यमा शीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ओम शांति शांति शांति। लास्ट क्लास आई इंट्रोड्यूस्ड हस्तामलक स्तोत्रम एंड व्हेन शंकर भगवत्पाद आस्क्ड हस्तामलक आचार्य हु वाज अ यंग बॉय हु आर यू कस्तुम बाल किमेवम जडवत् प्रवृत्तः हु आर यू व्हाई डू यू बिहेव लाइक एन इनर्ट बीइंग एंड हिज क्वेश्चन वाज वेरी ब्यूटीफुल वी सॉ कस्त्वं शिशो कः त्वं शिशो हे शिशो ओ चाइल्ड हु आर यू कस्य हु डू यू बिलोंग टू कुतः गन्ता असि वेर हैव यू बीन गोइंग फ्रॉम और वेर डू यू कम फ्रॉम वेर डू यू गो फ्रॉम हियर किम नामते व्हाट इज द नेम त्वं कुतः आगतः असि वेर हैव यू कम फ्रॉम एतन् मया उक्तं वद अर्भक ओ चाइल्ड अर्भक ओ चाइल्ड त्वं वद प्लीज डू टेल मी प्लीज डू आंसर फॉर माय क्वेश्चंस आस्क्ड मत्प्रीतये प्रीतिवर्धनोसि प्लीज टेल फॉर माय सेक And you are very pleasant, but you are of a pleasant nature. You are a pleasant natured person. Hastamalaka uvacha. Hastamalaka replied. And I said, Naham manushyo nachadevayakshau. His opening answer was, I am not a human being. I am not any of celestial beings. I'm not any of the bodies of any world. And na brahmanaha, na kshatriyaha, na vaishyaha, na shudraha. I'm not a brahmana. I'm not a kshatriya. I'm not a vaishya. I'm not a shudra. I'm not any of the, I'm not a human being belonging to any of these ashramas or any of the varnas, any of the worlds. Na brahmachari, na grihi, na vanastaha, na bhikshuhu. I'm not even a sannyasi. I'm not a brahmachari. I'm not a householder. I'm not a vanaprasthi. So nacha aham. So first he made it very clear what he is not. Then he said, Nijabodha Rupaha, Aham Nijabodha Rupaha. This is the first answer. Aham Nijabodha Rupaha. Bodha Rupaha. Rupaha, I am of the nature of knowledge. Bodha means knowledge. So I am, the word Rupam should be taken as nature. I am of the form of knowledge means I am of the nature of knowledge. Bodha Rupaha. And Nijabodha Rupaha means I am essentially of the nature of knowledge. Means I am a pure knowledge. That is his answer. I am pure knowledge. I am pure consciousness. I am essentially of the nature of knowledge, which he is going to say later on as Atma. This is the opening answer given. Usually people say this verse has been interpolated. We do not know. Anyway, it's a nice answer. But what actual teaching begins from the next verse? I'm going to read the verse for now. Please make a note from the number 3 onwards. until the last, number 14 we have. There are only totally 12 verses alone actually belongs, 12 verses alone belong to Hastamalaka Stotram. Original verses of Hastamalaka Acharya. First verse. Nimittam manaschakshuradi pravruttau nirastakhilopadhirakashakalpah ravirloka cheshta nimittam yathayah sanityopalabdhisvarupohamatma ahamatma ahamatma. Nimittam manaschakshuradi pravruttau. Nimittam manaschakshuradi pravruttau. Nirastakhilopadhirakashakalpaha. Nirastakhilopadhirakashakalpaha. Ravirloka cheshta nimittam yathayah. Ravirloka cheshta nimittam yathayah sa nityopalabdhisvarupohamatma sa nityopalabdhisvarupohamatma nimittam manaschakshuradi pravruttau nirastakhilopadhirakashakalpah ravirloka cheshta nimittam yathayah స నిత్యోపలబ్ధ స్వరూపోహమాత్మా. సో ఫస్ట్ హీ సేస్ అహం ఆత్మ. సో ఆల్రెడీ హీ ఈస్ మేడ్ వెరీ క్లియర్ వాట్ హీ ఈస్ నాట్. సో అహం ఆత్మ. సో అహం ఆత్మ మీన్స్ వాట్ ఈస్ ఇట్ ఆత్మ. లాస్ట్ క్లాస్ ఐ ఎక్స్ప్లెయిన్ టు యూ how the word Atma is derived from the four different roots, the four different verbs. So, Atma implies the reality, very truth. And the truth, which is of the nature of all pervasiveness, and which is always there. Apnoti iti Atma, Atati iti Atma. That which continues to exist always is Atma. So, that which is always there, that which is everywhere, there is Atma. So, this always there states Atma is free from time limitation. That which is everywhere there, that which is everywhere, that expression states that Atma is spatially limitless. Time-wise limitless, spatially limitless. Why? Always there. Even when the time is not, Atma is always beginninglessly there, endlessly there, changelessly there, therefore time-wise limitless. Everywhere is therefore time, spatially limitless. Then, and it is Atma in which the whole world resolves, that into which the whole world resolves means the whole world does not exist even when it exists outside of the Atma. The whole world comes into existence also is from Atma. That is why it is possible for everything to resolve in the Atma. I gave another meaning. Adatte iti Atma. Adatte iti Atma means that Atma is the reality in which the whole world resolves. That one word implies that in which the whole world resolves means that by which alone the whole world survives, that from which alone the whole world becomes manifest. Therefore, that in which the whole world resolves means the universe is never different from the Atma. It is never different from the Atma. So Atma is never different from the world. Therefore, it says object wise also Atma limitless. These three words okay, apnoti, atati, adatte. These three verbs derived from three different roots, ap, ad, and at. Adatte, adatte, atati, apnoti. Three verbs from which the word atma is derived reveal that atma being free from spatial limitation, time limitation, and object limitation. Therefore, not only the word Brahma, even the word Atma also reveals that the fact that reality implied by the term Atma is free from all three limitations. Not only that, Atma, which means Atma is free from all three limitations, means Atma, that Atma is of the nature of knowing, experiencing. Therefore, the only experiencer of everything is also Atma. That is revealed by the word, another verb, atti. Atti means that which experiences. Atti iti Atma. So Atma is of the nature of knowing. Atma is of the nature of experiencing. Therefore, experiences everything. And this Atma, he says, aham Atma. So, and what is that which is spatially limitless, time-wise limitless, object-wise limitless, which is always there, everywhere there, which is there as everything, in which everything resolves, and which is of the nature of experiencing, knowing. What is that? That is said here, the first verse, the last line itself, Nitya Upalabdhi Swarupaha. Upalabdhi, also another word for jnanam, that which obtains always, that which attains always as the knower, is pure knowledge. Upalabdhi swarupaha. Upalabdhi swarupaha. Nitya upalabdhi swarupaha. That which is the reality implied by the term Atma, which is ever available, Nitya Upalabdhi Swarupaha, ever available as pure knowledge, as a Swarupam of the knower. So I am the all-pervasive, ever-existing truth, and which is ever available for experience as the Swarupam of the knower I. Saha Nitya Upalabdhi Swarupaha Aham Atma. So what is that Atma then? First he says, the Atma is pure knowledge, pure consciousness. He says, Manas Chakshuradi Nimittam Pravruttau Nimittam. See, pravruttihi means activity, activation. Activity is called pravruttihi. Pravruttau is a locative case. Pravruttihi, activity, activation. Pravruttau means in activating, in functioning of all the instruments such as mind, eyes, etc. So nimittam means that which is instrumental, that which is the cause, that which is the source, because of the presence of which, because of the touch of which. So nimittam. So here Atma is the reality obtaining in the form of pure consciousness, because of the presence of which, touch of which, all the organs become activated. All the organs become activated. So that which is nimittam, that which is the cause and source in activation of all the organs, such as mind, etc. Which means manaha. mind, chakshuhu, eyes, seeing power. Adi stands for all the rest of the powers. Manaha, chakshuhu, he mentions. Adi means what? Chakshuhu, shrotram, the seeing power, hearing power, power of knowing, power of smelling, power of taste, power of touch. Also all other organs of actions, the mind, total 11. Ekadashi indriyani, 11 are mentioned by these two words, manaha and chakshuhu. So this 11 become activated. Okay, 11 become activated. So he's telling, all these are, we all know Tattvabodha itself, we have studied this. What about this mind and sense organs, 11 organs? Mind, of course, is a product of sattvic aspect of the sense organs. Therefore, mind being the product of sattvic aspect of sense organs, mind is of the nature of inertness. So mind is inert, mind is insentient. Mind has no sentiency or consciousness of its own. It's an inert, subtle matter. Subtlest matter, in fact. What about the sense organs? The yantya antahkaranam is inert. So also all the sense powers are also the seeing power, hearing power. All these five sense powers, the powers of perception, are also products of the sattvic aspects of elements. You know, they're also elemental products. What about the karmendriyani and pranas? Karmendriyani, and also you have to include prana also here. Pranas, all the 10 of them also products of the rajasic aspect of the matter. So, entire sukshma shariram is mentioned by this one word, manaha chakshuradi. Manas chakshuradi. Mind and sense organs, all of them being the products of sattvic rajasic aspects of the subtle elements. They're all inert material products. So they are not sentient of their own, conscious of their own. Therefore, they cannot function on their own independently. But now the inert mind, inert organs have become conscious and sentient. And not only they have become conscious and sentient, they enjoy existence. They become conscious and sentient. They're also functional. So mind is capable of knowing. Antahkaranam is involved in four different functions. Antahkaranam is capable of knowing as enjoying the knower status. And there is, mind is capable of thinking, feeling, entertaining emotions. And not only that, mind, there's a capacity to recollect all the past experiences. There's even knowledge of the self-existence. All this is, how the mind is involved in the functions, different functions. So in keeping with the different functions, one antahkarnam is also divided into four, as given four different names, as manaha, buddhihi, chittam, ahankaraha. So in nirvana hatkam you say manas, chit, manas, mano, buddhi, ahankara, chittani, naham. You say there, I am not mind, body, mind, or intellect, or the memory, or ego. There we say that. So here he says all of them are functional. They're inert. The mind, all this mind in its four different functions are possible. Antahkaranam, because of which it is capable of enjoying four different names as mind, intellect, memory and ego. That mind is functioning because of the touch, because of the blessing, because of the presence of the pure knowledge, consciousness, the reality. So also, all other 10 organs, karmendriyani and jnanendriyani, also pranas, the entire sukshma shariram. In fact, in Keno Upanishad, the teaching begins like that. The student is already very intelligent student. He understands body is inert, but all the sukshma shariram, because of the sukshma shariram is there, body is alive. If the sukshma sharira is not inside the physical body, body will be dead. And the sukshma sharira is inside means it is functional, it is alive. Because there is a mind, mainly antahkaranam. Manaha. The mind, conscious, sentient mind is inside the physical body. Then therefore all other 10 organs also functional. Pranas are also functional. Mind leaves, all of them will leave. So all these 11 instruments, organs and pancha pranaha, 16 aspects, all of them are conscious, sentient, alive, functional, active. Because of which even physical body becomes alive. Therefore life itself is possible. It's all possible just because the mere presence, just the presence of consciousness. Not consciousness does not do anything. That consciousness is implied by the term Atma. So first he says, Manas Chakshuradi Pravruttau. Manaha Nimittam Manas Chakshuradi Pravruttau. The consciousness is one, and because of its presence, different functions are involved in different functions. All these different functions of different organs, I'm enjoying different names is possible because of the mere presence of consciousness, which is a blessing. See, the electricity is one invisible principle because of the touch of which, presence of which alone, all the different gadgets function. Fan functions as fan, light functions as light, refrigerator or different instruments, different gadgets function. They all serve different purposes, different names, different forms. Different forms, different names, different functions. They all serve different purposes. But still, for all of, behind all of them, electrical gadgets, one invisible factor is electricity. Similarly, all these different 16 aspects, shodasha, 16 aspects, antahkaranam, jnanendriyani, karmendriyani, pancha pranaha, which constitute the sukshma shariram, because they all are inert. Actually, they're all inert. Inert material products, but they're all conscious, they're sentient, they're functional, and not only they're functional, conscious and sentient and functional, their presence in the body makes the inert gross body alive and active. And therefore, I am that pure consciousness which is not associated with them, which is distinct from all this, and at the same time, which is not distant from all of them, because of whose presence all of them become activated. It's the first line. So, Manaha Chakshuradi Pravruttau Nimittam. Yaha Saha Atma Aham. So, I am the consciousness principle implied by the term Atma, whose presence is instrumental in activating all the inert, internal, subtle aspects such as mind and sense organs, etc. This is the first line meaning. Second line, Nirasta Akhila Upadhihi Aham Atma. I am Atma, free from all upadhis. Nirastaha akilaha upadayaha yasmat saha nirasta akila upadhihi. We all know very well the physical body, mind, sense organs, organs of actions, all of them are upadhis of Atma. Upadhi means what? You all know where upadhiyate anena iti upadhi. So upadhi in English is translated as limiting adjunct. Really speaking, nothing can limit Atma. It is given a name as limiting adjunct. Really speaking, upadhi is that A manifesting medium is Upadhi. Manifesting medium is Upadhi. And this Upadhi is called Upadhi because body, mind, sense complex is Upadhi. Many Upadhis. Physical body is an Upadhi. Antahkaranam is an Upadhi. You can separately say mind, intellect, ego, they're all different Upadhis. Pranas are Upadhis. Instruments of knowledge are Upadhis. They're all Upadhis. Because Upadhi means that which transfers its attributes to the Atma because of the close proximity as though. So those material aspects, material products, which transfer their, falsely transfer their attributes to Atma because of its inseparable closest proximity. Just as light and opaque thing have no distance between each other, Atma and Anatma have no, there's no distance. Physical distance is not there between Atma and Anatma. Body, mind, sense complex. There's no physical distance. So Upadhi is that which falsely transfers its attributes to Atma. It throws its attributes upon the Atma as though. So you'll remember a glass container filled with many colorful marbles becomes colorful, looks colorful. Even though the glass container doesn't have color of its own, there's a crystal which has no color of its own. When you fill that container with many, many colorful marbles, then the glass container looks colorful. Really, it looks as though the marbles have transferred their colors to the glass container. It looks, really speaking, they have not, they cannot. But it looks as though they have transferred their colors to the glass container. And that glass container also looks colorful as though it has borrowed the colors. Really speaking, glass container is not touched, tainted by the colors of the marbles. But still it may look. And this is called what? Upadhi. So these colorful marbles contained in the glass container is like the Upadhi for the glass container. It's called false transference. That which contributes for false transference of its attributes to something upon something which is in close proximity. So we can say this glass, these marbles are like the Upadhis for the glass container. Similarly, the Anatma, body, mind, sense complex have their own limitations, their own problems. See, body is subject to birth, death, etc. Mind is subject to change. Pranas are subject to afflictions like hunger, thirst, etc. Like this different, all these body, mind, sense complex have their own attributes. Therefore, they are all looked upon as Upadhis. Now, these Upadhis, you can say manifesting media. So here Hastamalakacharya says, I am pure, I am Atma, I am pure consciousness implied by the term Atma, absolutely untouched, untainted by all the Upadhis. I am free from all the Upadhis. Nirasta Akila Upadhi Atma. Second sentence. Nirasta Akila Upadhi. The third line, I'm moving on to the third word. ஆகாஷ கல்பக. இட் இஸ் வெரி இன்ட்ரெஸ்டிங் வேர்ட், ஆகாஷ கல்பக. யூனோ ஆகாஷ கல்பக, ஆகாஷ கல்பக. So I, the Atma, am like the space. Kalpa means your Atma, the consciousness, is compared, likened to a space. There is certain similarities between space and Atma. What are the similarities? See, the reality implied by the term Atma, the pure consciousness, pure knowledge is one. Reality is one. Space also is one. And the space is all pervasive. So consciousness, reality is also all pervasive. Atma is all pervasive. One, all pervasive. And the space is all accommodative. Space accommodates everything. Atma also is all accommodative. Atma being the subtlest truth, Atma accommodates in even the space. By accommodating space, by pervading all pervasive space, Atma pervades everything else pervaded by this space. Therefore, third feature is all accommodative. One, then all pervasive. Space is all pervasive. So all accommodative. All pervasive, therefore all accommodative. One. Then, even though space pervades everything, space is not tainted, touched, afflicted by anything which exists in space. Akashaha ekaha. Akashaha sarvagataha. Akashaha avakasha pradata. Third feature. Akashaha asangaha. Atma, Akasha is not touched, tainted by anything which exists in space. And Akasha being one is what? Indivisible, partless whole. Akasha being one is indivisible, partless whole. These are the main features. We can derive some more also, but main, I take only these main features. Similarly, here, the consciousness implied by the term Atma is also one. How many consciousnesses are there? The very question is wrong. If I use the plural word, expression for consciousnesses. Even the word knowledge we can never use it in plural form. So consciousness is one. Atma, the reality implied by the term Atma is one. And is subtlest, therefore Atma is absolutely all pervasive. And Atma accommodates everything. And Atma is one indivisible, partless whole. And Atma is untainted, untouched by anything which exists in consciousness. Atma, the reality implied by the term Atma is like the space. Now, suppose a doubt may come. If Atma is one like space, if Atma is all pervasive like space, if Atma is untainted, untouched like space, if Atma is all accommodative like space, if Atma is one undivided, indivisible, partless whole like space, is it okay to take space as the Atma? Because similar features. No. Atma is only likened to space. But space is inert matter, material product. Taittiriya Upanishad teaches us, tasmadva etasmad atmana akasha sambhutaha. Space has a beginning. Space is subject to time limitation. And space subject to object limitation. Space is a product. And space is a matter, material product. Space is of the nature of inertness. They are the dissimilar features. We have certain similar features. We also have dissimilar certain features. Therefore, Atma is like the space, kalpa, akasha kalpaha. But Atma is not Akashaha. Atma na Akashaha, Akasha Kalpaha. Atma is like this space. But to understand, the nearest example for Atma is space. So Atma is untouched by anything like space. But Atma is not inert like space. Atma does not come and go like space. You know, Atma is not matter, material product. In fact, Atma is not even part of the material. Space is part of the material universe. Therefore, Atma is not the space. Atma is like this space. Okay? Therefore, we have this Nirastha Akila Upadhihi. Nimittam manas chakshuradi pravruttau Nirastha Akila Upadhira Akashakalpaha Nirastha Akila Upadhihi Akashakalpaha. Third word is okay. Nirastha Akila Upadhihi Atma Aham Akashakalpaha Atma Aham Manaschakshuradi Pravruttau Nimittam Yaha Atma Saha Atma Aham. The fourth. Ravihi Loka Cheshta Nimittam Yatha Yaha Ravihi Loka Cheshta Nimittam Yatha Yaha Tatha Loka Cheshta Nimittam Saha Nitya Upalabdhi Swarupaha Ahamatma. He says, Loka Cheshta Nimittam. Loka Cheshta Nimittam Ravihi. Ravihi Suryaha, sun. So, for the activation of the whole world, how Ravihi Suryaha is instrumental. See, Suryaha does not activate, please make a note, very big important lesson. The sun is not the activator of the world. Sun is not the activator of the world. Sun has nothing to do with the world. But still, mere presence of the sun is instrumental for the activation of the world. The whole world becomes activated. The whole world has life. The whole world thrives, survives, becomes nourished because of the sun. Just the presence of the sun is instrumental, nimittam, for the activation of the world. But for the presence of the sun, the world would have remained in darkness. Not only that, the world would not have even survived. Just so much, the survival of the world, existence of the world, activity of the world, life of the world is purely because of the mere existence of sun. Therefore, Ravihi Loka Cheshta Nimittam Ravihi Asti. Yatha Asti means sun not by its any action activates the universe. Lends life for the world. No, sun does not need to do anything. The presence of the sun, mere presence of the sun is instrumental for the activation of the world. The whole world becomes activated, becomes alive, as you know, it thrives and flourishes because of the mere presence of the sun. Similarly, even though sun is not the activator, we can say from the standpoint of the universe, we can say the activator of the whole world is Surya Bhagavan. Imagine, but for the sun, the world, there's nothing would be possible here. Similarly, Manaschakshuradi Pravruttau, in the activation of the body, in the activation of all 16 subtle aspects, which constitute the subtle body. Also, there is a mere presence of consciousness is instrumental. Okay, nimitta, which means consciousness does not activate the mind. So consciousness does not make the mind, does not do anything to make the mind conscious and sentient. Consciousness does not do anything to activate the sense organs or for perception to take place. Consciousness does not do anything, but its mere presence of consciousness is instrumental for the inert, material, the subtle, all instruments, 16 aspects, you know, function as different organs. So mind has the status of being the mind. All the organs enjoy the status or respective statuses because they are sentient and conscious and they're active and functional because of the blessing of the mere existence of presence of consciousness. Therefore, loka cheshta nimittam yatha ravihi asti tatha yaha atma manaschakshuradi pravruttau nimittam saha nitya upalabdhi swarupaha atma ahamasmi. But that reality obtaining in the form of pure knowledge, pure consciousness, the because of the presence of which, the presence of which is instrumental in the activation of all the subtle mind and sense organs, etc. Similarly, the because of the presence of this reality in terms of pure knowledge, the whole world becomes, you know, the just as the whole world becomes activating the presence of the sun, so all the subtle aspects become activated in the presence of the Atma, the consciousness. It is the touch, it is the mere presence, the blessing of consciousness that everything becomes activated. And what is the tat? That pure knowledge, even though not distant from the body, mind, sense complex, still which is distinct from the body, mind, sense complex, that pure knowledge, in the mere presence of which everything becomes activated, functional, and active and alive, that consciousness, ever obtaining, ever available, nitya upalabdhi swarupaha, that reality which is of nature of pure knowledge, nitya upalabdhi swarupaha, aham atma, I am atma. This is the meaning of the first verse. Are you able to see that now? Can you hear me? Okay. Nimittam manas chakshuradi pravruttau nirastakhilopadhirakasha kalpaha. I'm so used to sing this. I don't want to sing this now. Nimittam manas chakshuradi pravruttau nirastakhilopadhirakasha kalpaha ravirloka cheshta nimittam yathayaha sanityopalabdhi swarupoham atma. You have to make the prose order like this. Yatha ravihi loka cheshta nimittam asti tatha yaha manaschakshuradi pravruttau nimittam yaha nirasta akhila upadhihi yaha akasha kalpaha saha nitya upalabdhi swarupaha atma ahamasmi. So aham atma, that ever obtaining reality as the swarupam of the knower consciousness is implied with the term atma, is the first literal meaning of the first verse. I will redo the unfoldment now, take the literal meaning first. Then, Yamagnushnavan. I'll be redoing it also, these verses. Unfoldment, I'll do it again. Now you know the better literal meaning of the verses. Yamagnushnavan nitya bodhaswarupam. Yamagnushnavan nitya bodhaswarupam. Manaschakshuradinya bodhatmakani. Yamagnushnavan nitya bodhaswarupam. Manaschakshuradinya bodhatmakani. Pravartanta ashritya nishkampamekam. Pravartanta ashritya nishkampamekam. Sanityopalabdhiswarupohamatma. Yamagnushnavannitya bodhaswarupam. Yamagnushnavannitya bodhaswarupam. Manaschakshuradinya bodhatmakani. Manaschakshuradinya bodhatmakani. Pravartanta ashritya nishkampamekam. Pravartanta ashritya nishkampamekam. Sanityopalabdhiswarupohamatma. Sanityopalabdhiswarupohamatma. Nitya upalabdhiswarupaha ahamatma. So I am the very truth, ever obtaining consciousness, implied by the term Atma, I am. So here he says again, see, pravartante means function. Pravartante, function, become active. Function means what function here? What are those things which function? He says, manaha, chakshuhu, chakshuradini, abodhatmakani. He says, mind, sense organs, and also organs of actions, even pranas. The entire subtle, see, subtle body is so important, you know. Why he is repeatedly talking about subtle body here? Imagine, presence of the subtle body in the mind makes the physical body alive. Departure of the subtle body from the physical body makes the body dead. Now we, all our activities, the very life itself is possible in the world only when the body is alive. When the body is dead, the body has been just cremated like a log of wood. The body is taken for cremation like a log of wood because it's lifeless. So what lends life for this? It's the presence of the subtle body. The subtle body stays in the body or departs the physical body in keeping with the power of the karma. As long as supposed to exhaust the power of the karma palam, subtle body will remain in the gross body. One power of the karma is exhausted, subtle body will not leave even only 1 second extra. It will leave immediately, it will leave the physical body. So departure of mind along with the other subtle aspects from the physical body alone is called death of the body. I mean, body becomes lifeless. That's all. So it is supposed to get disintegrated. But this subtle body also is inert matter only. Abodhatmakani. Abodhatmakani means they are of the nature of inertness. Abodhatmakani. All the manaschakshuradini, all the subtle aspects which constitute the subtle body, mind, sense organs, organs of actions, physiological functions, all of them together constitute the subtle body, is of the nature of inertness. Abodhatmakani. Manaschakshuradini abodhatmakani. And even though they are abodhatmakani, they are of the nature of inertness, they're insentient, inert, still, you know, pravartante, but still they function. How? they function. Inert, insentient, become conscious and sentient and function. Amazing. How is it possible? He says, they all function ashritya. They function depending upon. Ashritya means depending upon. Being dependent on this nishkampam ekam. They are dependent on this one truth, ekam satyam. They, all these are capable of functioning. And in order to function, they function depending upon the truth for their existence and for their capability. And what is that one thing? Nishkampam. Nishkampam means unmoving, that which does not move. Nishkampam. Nishkampam ekam. Why? Already we know the reality is all pervasive, therefore it cannot shake or move. Nishkampam, this reality, the subtract reality, which is of nature of pure knowledge, pure consciousness, is of the nature of motionlessness, unmoving. Nishkampam asaivatta parambarul. Nishkampam ekam ashritya pravartante. They all function depending upon this unmoving, motionless consciousness, only truth consciousness. Ekam nishkampam ashritya. Abodhatmakani manaschakshuradeni pravartante. Inert material products, body, minds, all the everything functions, all of them function depending upon this one truth, unmoving, motionless reality. What is it again? Agni Ushnavat Bodhaswarupam. Not only this reality is all pervasive and motionless. Nitya Bodhaswarupam. Nitya Bodhaswarupam means is ever of the nature of this Atma, is ever of the nature of pure knowledge. This reality is ever of the nature of pure knowledge. Nitya Bodhaswarupam. Swarup means nature, Bodha, knowledge, Nija, Nitya, ever. Nitya Bodhaswarupam means ever of the nature of knowledge, pure knowledge, consciousness. So Agni Ushnavat, Agni Ushnavat means like the heat is the inseparable intrinsic property of the fire, nature of the fire. Being hot is the intrinsic nature of the fire. Agni Ushnavat, like the heat, just as Vat means like just as the heat is inseparable intrinsic nature of the fire. So here pure knowledge, Bodhaswarupa, Nitya Bodhaswarupaha. So I am essentially of the nature of pure consciousness. Now finished. Yam Agni Ushnavat. Agni Ushnavat Nitya Bodha Swarupam. Just as heat is the intrinsic property of the fire, I am essentially of the nature of pure consciousness. Whom? Depending upon whom? Depending upon which truth, the motionless, unmoving truth, all these inert material organs such as mind, etc. function, and that ever obtaining pure consciousness am I the Atma. This is the second, literal meaning of the second verse. Okay, literal meaning unfoldment I will do next class. Because to enjoy the unfoldment, I wanted to know the words first. Yam Agni Ushnavati. Yam is a relative pronoun. Whom? Agni Ushnavati Nitya Bodha Swarupaha Atma. Please come in. Please come in. Agni Ushnavati Nitya Bodha Swarupaha Atma. Thank you very much. Okay. I'll stop the class. I can do it.
12 at 12.
Okay. Yes. Another 6 minutes. See, Agni Ushnavati Nitya Bodha Swarupaha Atma. Tam Atmanam Yam means whom, relative pronoun. Yam Agni Ushnavati Nitya Bodha Swarupam Nishkampam Ekam Atmanam Ashitya Manaschakshuradini Abodhatmakani Pravartante Saha Nitya Upalabdhi Swarupaha Aham Atma. So I am ever obtaining pure consciousness implied with them Atma, depending upon whom? Yam Ashritya. Depending upon whom? Yam Ashritya. Depending upon whom? The motionless, unmoving truth, the only truth, which is the nature of pure knowledge. These, all the organs, just mind and sense organs, etc. function. That pure knowledge am I? The Atma. This is the literal meaning of the verse number 2. I will unfold these 2 verses next class. Yam Yamagnushnavanityabo Ushnavat. Yam Agni Ushnavat Agnishnavat. Yamagnushnavanityabodhasvarupam. Manaschakshuradi nyabodhatmakani. Pravartanta ashitya nishkampamekam. Sanityopalabdhisvarupohamatma. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.